Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, relaxing, drinking my coffee, enjoying some special phone going off already. Sitting here enjoying my coffee and some macaroons. I got a soft spot for macaroons. It's a big Achilles heel for me. I don't indulge in them frequently, I'll say that much, but I do enjoy them quite thoroughly. In fact, leading into today, this weekend was adventurous. But before we get into the adventures, let us tell you about who we are sponsored by. Susie Q's, a brilliant and talented jewelry maker who has some unique items that she wants to share with you. Go to SusieQs.com, check out her wares, see what you would like to wear. She is also on Instagram, she is on Facebook, and we are proud to call her our sponsor and our friend. We have hung out with Susie at multiple events, and she is just absolutely brilliant, so wonderful. So if you get the chance to purchase something created by her, it is truly unique. You will love it. So going into this weekend, it was a busy week actually for me. And it's weird because, you know, this used to be like my normal week where I'm running around from event to event and doing a bunch of different stuff. But this week was the first time I've done that in months, literally in months. So going back to my macaroons, the Hello Kitty truck showed up this week, and it was at the Park Meadows Mall. It wasn't bad. It was a little smaller of a spectacle this year than it was last year and years prior, and I think that's a lot, of course, to do with COVID. But they sell these amazing little Hello Kitty macaroons, and of course, they go great with coffee, so I've had to indulge myself quite a lot with them, actually. They're so delicious. And there's like five in a box with, you know, different flavors and all that. So good. And there's one that's actually even shaped like Hello Kitty. I know, you wouldn't think, hey, he's a dude. He doesn't dig Hello Kitty. No, Hello Kitty's for everybody. Well worth it. But the kitty truck was fun. We got there early, and they opened early and worked through that line faster than anything I've ever seen them do before. Last year, it stretched all the way down Park Meadows Mall. This year, not so much. I mean, we got there relatively early, a few hours before open, when the truck was supposed to open, and yeah, they just powered through everybody. So it was kind of fun. The best Hello Kitty t-shirt I saw was a Kiss Hello Titty Kitty. Hello Titty. Hello Kitty t-shirt. Yeah, just to see Hello Kitty and Gene Simmons makeup is kind of frightening. I don't know if I really want to see that again or not. It was like, okay, sure. It is, you know what is interesting though? So when you get to go to someone else's fandom, you know, you appreciate it. You're not into it. Well, you're not into it as much as everybody else, but it is kind of fun to just see other fans get totally into it. There were a lot of people that were there hanging out, dressed up in their appropriate Hello Kitty gear. I didn't realize how much Hello Kitty stuff is out there. I mean, this one lady showed up in this Hello Kitty dress, shoes, necklace. I mean, just dressed to the nines. And I was like, wow, I'm a commitment. Not to mention the Kiss t-shirt, of course. But yeah, it was kind of fun. Worth the trip. They do the truck across the country. So depending upon what region you are in the world, in the United States, I know that there's an actual Hello Kitty store, like actual like bakery food place in Irvine, California. And of course, across the pond over in Japan, there is one that I will visit. Just for the food, just for the experience, just for the overall, just to, you know, partake of someone else's fandom. Because it's fun when you see someone else just go totally in. Of course, I showed up in my Ghostbusters t-shirt, which, you know, I'm at someone else's fandom. I should be able to wear mine, right? So, the one thing I will do is, at some point, I want to go to Irvine and check out the Hello Kitty shop there. Just to, like I said, try the food. They've got a lot of baked goods that just are, I'm interested. I wanna try more. And indulge in the sweet tooth just a little bit. I don't do it too often, but just to try it would be kind of fun. Speaking of my Ghostbuster t-shirt, it was an interesting weekend because one of the events that I did this week was the Jammin' radio station block party. So they end up contacting me to do an event, and we drive through a couple neighborhoods in Brighton in the Ecto, and they deliver pizzas to different homes on this block that had won the contest from the station. So there'll probably be pictures surfacing of that soon, but it was fun. Oh my God. So we're driving. We've got like a whole train of different vehicles that showed up. Of course, the radio station's van, blaring music, this huge truck with like everyone from the station. I mean, everyone. The VP was in there. The program director was in there. A couple of radio personalities. All of marketing was in there, and promotions. So they're all in costume. And one guy is dressed in this Boba Fett outfit, and he's just dancing all along the street. It really gave me flashbacks of like Robot Chicken back in the day when they were able to do Star Wars. All I get, Boba sexy. You want some boba, don't you? It was, and I mean, the guy is like relatively skinny, so the suit is kind of just hanging on him. But he was having fun with it. The turnout, I mean, everyone came out of their house. The first show up that we did was okay. I mean, it was still raining. Actually, we got rain here for a change. So that one was okay, but the second stop that we did, I mean, everybody came out. People were showing up with, evidently, it was cocktail hour, so everyone had a beverage and took pictures, and it was fun. Music was blaring, of course. The Ecto, all working, all running, and pretty, and took pictures, and everybody loved us. Everybody loved us. Yeah, but, you know, the kids love us anyway. So check that out on Jammin's radio station. I think it's 10:15. Yeah, just check me in. Double check me on that to be sure. But that's where we were for that event. And then the other one that happened, and this was like right after the Hello Kitty event, Ransom Errands, and ended up at Outworld again. This is becoming like my new home. Outworld Brewing has this Hefeweizen that they brewed that is absolutely spectacular. It is probably the smoothest, most delicious Hefeweizen I have ever sampled in my life. I mean, and that's saying a lot. This, I think, even the brewer, the lead brewer, was just astounded by how good it turned out. So I don't know what they did differently or what happened or if the planets just aligned correctly, but damn tasty. So anyway, we show up there for Judgment Day, which Skynet, if you are a big Terminator fan, went online. So it wasn't actually Judgment Day, but it's the day Skynet went online, and it's the beginning of the end. So they were running Terminator specials. It was a blast. So we've been working a lot with Outworld Brewery. We will have some announcements regarding them coming up soon, hopefully. And we're sitting there sampling the beers, of course, and all along the bar, they've got the Terminator bust, they've got the arm, they've got a gas tank from the motorcycle, But best of all is they have a shotgun from Arnie that's autographed by him. And, yeah, I had to take a picture with it because it was awesome. I really wanted to run away with that son of a bitch. But, damn, that thing was heavy. It had some mass to it. Even though it's, like, sawed off and all of that, thing got some heft to it. But I don't, oddly enough, have anything signed by Arnie. He's very elusive. I don't know if I would ever see Arnie at a con. What would the price tag be to get Arnold Schwarzenegger at a con? Huh. That would be huge. Huge! Because, you know, he can show up and punk Lou Ferrigno all afternoon. Just saying. I'm sorry, that's not nice. That's not nice. Shame on me. So, Judgment Day is on its way. Be prepared. Skynet's online. Everything is going crazy at this point. Cats and dogs living together. Real Wrath of God type stuff. What else is going on? So that was just kind of the weekend. It was a full weekend. And I missed this because, you know, doing the cons and everything else that is has been stalled and put on pause because of current situations and crisis and all of that. It's really missed. So to actually have something to do was nice. And in that thought, DC fandom, and I don't know if this was a success. I mean, I've gotten different input from different people in regards to what they liked, what they didn't like, kind of where DC fell down. They are going to be holding another fandom. It's called Exploring the Multiverse, September 12th. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be all in as I was on this one. I know maybe and in part to DC's fandom success was the lack of options. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on. Everyone's just wanting content. I mean, I can't believe how quickly I'm just blazing through shows. Like, as soon as they hit Netflix and Disney Plus, that just blazing right through them. Because there's nothing else going on, and it's just been damn hot to go outside. I mean, we finally got some decent weather to actually go and do something, but for the most part, you know, it's either video games or binge something on TV when it's just too unbearable out. So I don't know if DC's fandom was necessarily a hit, a success. I know it did well, and of course everyone was excited for all of the new trailers and just input and some of the panels that they held. And it's the right mindset of just 24 hours. And I hope DC keeps with that formula for just 24 hours. And then after that, you know, done. So what they have in store for us for the next one is difficult to say, especially with, I think they got the majority of, I think, their information out, with the exception of, like, the TV shows and, you know, because I think they missed a lot by not putting anything out on that. I mean, like, having the comic books available online, which I didn't actually investigate as much as I wanted to because I was distracted, but to put their, you know, comics available online for 24 hours is great. I think that is an absolute spectacular way of getting people interested in what's going on. They may not have been to their local comic book store. They may not even be ordering online. And here's a perfect way to just kind of get a sampling and jump in, you know, back into the collecting world, because Lord knows we need more collectors as shops are, like, closing left and right. I don't want to see any more shops go down. It's just heartbreaking. It's like watching your favorite pub burn. You don't know what to do. Ugh. So with that, mark it on your calendar. We put it up on the events page for 5280 to let everybody know September 12th, the next DC fandom. So we'll see. Let's hope. Fingers crossed. The other big thing, and I want to take a moment, and I normally don't do this, but for once, I'm going to indulge myself. Not that I don't normally do, but the shock that, and I mean literal shock, that went through the comic book and collector and movie industry the other night was tremendous. The original reaction I had was that of like, bullshit, you know, more fake news. But to hear Chadwick Boseman passing away from cancer was just like, wait, what? I honestly, because as soon as my phone starts lighting up, I'm like, okay, especially at the time, was, okay, who, what, you know, I figure it's a conversation that somebody saw something or a collectible popped up or it could be a number of things. That was the least of what I thought it was going to be. And to have that news come across and just the immediate reaction, my own personal reaction was no way. Stunned, shocked, just completely speechless at the thought. Because as you read the article and you read the press release of everything, it's inspiring. It's heartbreaking, and the flood of emotions that come out of it is undeniable. Because when you look at not only, you know, the presence of him on the screen and everything that he accomplished, but his acts as a human being after the fact and what he did with all of that. And, you know, you can start to connect the pieces afterwards, realizing that he went on for 4 years battling cancer, and never once was there an indication, never once was there any kind of moment that he, I wouldn't say used it as a crutch, but ever mentioned it. He didn't want the attention on it. It was his own issue that he dealt with privately, personally, and conducted himself admirably, top shelf. And to see that kind of, I mean, it cements just, his passing cements just how quality of an individual and just, it get a little choked up even just thinking about it, because just how amazing that he was. So I do take a moment to just kind of, that's why we changed the logo to the Black Panther, because what he did in that role, I mean, there can never be another Black Panther. There really can't. And I'm sure that aside, everyone will probably figure out what they're going to do with that, how they're going to pay a special homage to him. I mean, it's one thing when someone you know is ill, their, you know, their health is in jeopardy, they're already, you know, getting up there in age, and you feel for someone. But for this to come out of the blue like it did, just like I said, wow. And it just speaks to the volume of character of a human and his genuine generosity and heart that he carried on with every single day. So we pay tribute, we bow our heads in silence, we, you know, wish him, his family, and his close friends the best, because he will be missed. That was a shock. Anyway, I digress. So, moving along, also this weekend, as the theaters are reopening, thank God, woo, that was close. I thought we were going to lose them forever. The long-awaited Bill and Ted Face the Music hit theaters and streaming service. I'm waiting. I haven't decided which way I want to go, if I want to wait for it to hit video, if I'm going to venture out into the real world and try and take in a theater. I've seen pictures posted up from a few friends of going to the theater, especially like in there. So it's like normal. But I guess the weekend went well. The theaters are starting to slowly come back, thankfully. I would look for a meat and potatoes review of Bill and Ted very soon, just so you can kind of get your bearings. But everybody has interjected how, I wouldn't say perfect this film is, but it is everything that we could use right now. Lighthearted, has a good message to it, you know. I don't know if it's as strong as Be Excellent to Each Other, but In that same vein, it is the humor that we have come to love and appreciate from the film franchise now. It is a franchise, isn't it? This is its third film. I think that technically makes it a franchise. But hell plays a big role in this. Who knew? It's the safe haven for where you want to go. So the film has gotten, I wouldn't say mixed reviews. They've all been kind of like middle of the road. It's not one of those love or hate. It's just kind of like, I think it's checked all the necessary boxes that it needs to right now. And that is exactly what we need. It's perfect. So in those moments where you just want to kick back, relax, not think about anything, and forget what's going on around you, this is the film to do it. I just worry ends, of course, since we've been on this story since it broke. I really just want to see, because this, honestly, in my mind, was the perfect fit for the story. As far as, well, we've been waiting all this time for it to happen. It still hasn't happened, and you know, see what happens when you know too much about your own future. So we'll see how it goes. Like I said, look for the meat and potatoes. In addition to, you know, other reviews coming, and I'll let you know what I think, because I'm excited to see it. Also, in the same vein, our buddy Keanu Reeves has been extremely busy. I mean, not only have we talked about John Wick 4 and 5 being filmed back to back, Keanu Reeves doing his normal, glorious self of visiting people, trying to help out where he can. He's also started, not only his own motorcycle company, which we've talked about, but he just started this new Kickstarter for a comic that he's doing with Matt Kent and Ron Garney. It's called Berserker. It really, I mean, looking at it, it kind of looks interesting. Berserker, of course, is the first comic book, and it will be a graphic novel series that they're kind of taking this interesting, I don't know, approach to an immortal character. So basically what they're looking at, it's going to be 12 issues, and the Kickstarter is already like on fire. So in addition to the 12 comics, they're also going to put them in a collected edition with each series having 4 comics in it. So you're looking at 4 graphic novels with, you know, 4 issues in it. Right now, with 30 days left, they have already raised $105,160 with 983 backers. So it looks like this is absolutely going to take off. The Berserker is, the synopsis reads as this: Berserker is a half immortal and half god, cursed and compelled to violence, even at the sacrifice of his own sanity. But after wandering the world for centuries, Berserker may have finally found a refuge in the United States government, of all places, folks. Who knew? He is enlisted to do missions that are too violent or too dangerous for anyone else in exchange for information and stuff that will help lead to expose his own background and everything else that is going on. So, I mean, it's a very interesting idea. I'm kind of interested to see what is going on. The 3 graphic novels will be received as like one of the stretch goals in the Kickstarter. They're looking at September 2021 for the release date on that. So, I mean, it's a little bit off, ways off, as we know, but I'm sure as soon as they see how much they've raised in the Kickstarter, they probably already have a lot of this ready to go. It's just the printing and all the other stuff that goes to it. I'm going to throw a link into the post, so you can kind of check out the GoFundMe or Kickstarter, excuse me, to see what and how it progresses. But this thing is, I mean, the artwork actually looks very enticing. I'm very curious to see, actually read the story Because it looks like it would be, yeah, fun. I'm all about it. Immortals, of course. I mean, not Highlander-style Immortals, but still, something worth reading. And, of course, it's Keanu Reeves. I got to support him and what he does. It's not like, you know, he's not doing good things for everybody else, everywhere else. In other news, speaking of DC, and I should have brought this up when we were going over the fandom, one of the things that have kind of become more prevalent is the whole Black Adam story. And Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, evidently has been working on this forever. I didn't realize that, first of all, The Rock is 48, and I was like, wow, he's approaching 50, and he's still freaking a badass. But he's been working on this project for Black Adam for over a decade. So this is something that is his pet project. He wants to get it done. He wants to make it happen. And I'm 100% behind this. Black Adam, like I said, is one of my favorite characters in the DCU. I think he's so underappreciated, so underused, and could be much, much more of an impact than they give him the opportunity to be. So to see The Rock, you know, take control as he has with the character and just what he wants to do, because he is pushing with like every ounce of his power, which, let's face it, that is a lot, because the man is, I think, one of the highest paid movie stars in the world. And that's no small feat, let's face it. So if he gets what his way, he wants a face-off between him and Henry Cavill's Superman, which I think would be that would be tremendous. Oh my God, just getting chills thinking about those two facing off. Because let's face it, Henry Cavill is a specimen. I know he's going to be in this new Sherlock Holmes Netflix film. And it's really strange because he's like, you know, trying to be cuddly and personable. First of all, that wasn't Sherlock Holmes. And secondly, after seeing him in The Witcher and all brooding, it's kind of strange to see him switch back to, you know, kind of a warmer, cuddlier character. But he's so massive and just such an imposing figure. I really am excited to see him take on the Black Adam and The Rock. Because I think that would be a tremendous fight. I mean, when you think about the fight that was between Superman and Zod, now throw Black Adam in there, who's more powerful than Zod, and Superman's weak against Mystic. Oh my God. Woo! That is going to be a fight. Huge fight. And I just want to see... What I really want to see is Black Adam grab Supes by the cape, spin him around, and throw him into a building. I know that just seems really strange, and maybe it's just the comic book fan dork in me, but I think that would actually be just... I just want to see that just once. I don't think Batman was able to pull it off in Batman vs. Superman, and I know we didn't see it in Justice League, so just to see him get worked like that would be kind of fun. But Henry Cavill, huge, tremendous respect for as an actor, as a creative... And I really want to see this happen. I really hope it does. And I know we should get Black Adam in the second Shazam film. And I know there's so much going on over in DC. It really is difficult to figure out what DC's got going on right now with the changes. They've announced a new new CEO or someone in charge that's going to change Jim Lee's role as editor-in-chief for the comics. So... I don't know. There's so many shakeups going on over at DC with the merger. It's hard to keep track. It really is, because I have no idea. But I think when you're looking at someone as influential as The Rock, who, you know, I don't want to say he gets it his way, but that kind of is the precedent that we have seen when you're dealing with The Rock. If he wants something, let's face it, he's going to get it one way or the other. So... God love him. Get it done. If him and Kevin Feige can like team up and make this a reality and like turn DC into the box office juggernaut that we know it could be, that would be tremendous. I would so be happy to see that. So Let's make it happen, Captain. Let me know your thoughts. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe The Rock is going to suck as Black Adam, but I really can't see that. Just, no. Perfect casting right there. Perfect casting. Anyway, moving along to streaming services. I know the countdown has begun to the second season of The Mandalorian. I saw someone post up a countdown clock. We still got a couple months, folks. Nothing's changed. I know there's delays on the books and the novels and the comics, and everybody wants more Mando, but you're just going to have to wait till the movie lands, or movie, the series lands. And I think I saw someone say it's October, but then there was a delay, so for November 2020. I mean, we're still going to get it this year, which it will be a welcome addition to the binge, just because they're going to slowly pepper that out, and I want to see all the fan theories come true, and seeing what happens to Boba's armor, and so many rumors, so many cliffhangers just floating out there that I the fan in me is just jumping up and down for joy. Been able to, speaking of jumping up and down for joy, been able to land like the little Baby Yoda black box figure to go with my black box Mando figure. And I know it's a little dorky, but you know what? That was half the fun of Star Wars back in the day, was being able to collect the figures after seeing the film. And especially like Empire. Empire was a huge impact on me for collecting, because I sat so close, because Empire, that opening weekend was packed, and we barely got in, so our seat was basically neck-breaking up close. Stadium seating didn't exist. Let's just cram them in there like we do, you know, a jet, and no wiggle room. So up close, looking directly up at the screen, I mean, I'm basically like right underneath Bossk's foot in Empire as they're, you know, bringing in the bounty hunters to find Solo. So you get that close up view, especially at that time, of the bounty hunters. It just left a huge impression of, okay, gotta collect all these guys. No idea who they are. None of them spoke except Boba. And I don't think Bossk can really count, you know, growling. But all in all, it just kind of whet the appetite for just collecting all of the figures to coincide with what you saw. It was fun. It was, I know, childlike and still is, but there's just some, I don't know, dopamine release on that. You know, you get the fix. You scratch the itch. It is so worth it. So, I digress. More toys are coming. I know it. So get out there. Do your hunting. No one's going to frown at you at this point of the game if you're, you know, 30, 20 plus person buying an action figure. No one cares. It's fun. Just look the other way. Also in streaming services, Amazon has actually, and this is funny because I was just talking about this a couple weeks ago, what happened to Carnival Row? And lo and behold, Amazon releases that they have just finished filming second season, and we will be getting another go-around with Carnival Row. And you know what? I mean, aside from seeing, you know, Orlando Bloom's butt a lot, I really like the series. The characters were provocative. The story was compelling. I love the world building. I want more. Absolutely want more for this. So to see Amazon, and I don't know if it was quietly got this filmed, but I mean, I know they did a lot of filming in Prague. So there was a slight delay due to COVID, of course. And then everything came about for, you know, clear. Let's finish it, and it's done. So, no release date as far as when this is coming out, and I'm sure them having to pause in March because of COVID delayed any plan that they may have had. So, I don't know how much filming that they got. I think it was like halfway point. But it's worth the wait. I really think that this is another hit for Amazon. And they just kind of, they're slowly like stacking up as far as Amazon's series, because they really are putting out some interesting ones. Because of course The Boys, and then there was the Stanna Katic series, which was really trippy and so weird. but very entertaining. And of course, I mean, it did have that feel of Castle, you know, but a little more violent and a lot more gritty. But yeah, there was no Castle to break up the monotony. There was some humor, but not a lot. But Amazon is slowly just kind of building up this little bullpen of shows that everybody is excited and looking forward to see. Like I said, no information or any dates or how they're going to put this out, if it's going to be weekly, if it's going to be one big binge. I think we're going to see a return of a weekly dispersal when it comes to shows. I think that the binge side, everyone's kind of seeing the negative impact of it, because you spend all this time working on these shows to drop them all and everybody just blazes through them in a weekend. Yeah. Then what? Everyone forgets. Everyone loses track. I mean, going back to Umbrella Academy, definitely did the week prior binge to get caught up and remember everything. Mandalorian, you know, of course I've already watched it a few times, but just before that hits, I know there'll be the week binge before just to kind of get back up to speed. The Boys, same thing. I mean, that's going to be landing later this month because, yes, it is September now. We will see Boys later this month, so there's another one. So I think as we see the landscaping change on the streaming side, I would not be at all surprised if we see the return of the weekly episode, the weekly installment, if you will. So let's, fingers crossed, as soon as I get a date, as soon as we get a trailer, as soon as we get anything, we're here for you. We'll let you know. In other streaming services, let's bounce over to the other guys, as in Netflix, as we finally get kind of an interesting answer. Everyone's been wondering, what is the next big series? What's the next big adaptation? And for the creative team of Game of Thrones, and actually toss in someone from True Blood. We're looking at, it's a new series, and I haven't read this, but evidently they're going to be adapting Liu Qin's international novel series called The Three-Body Problem. And it looks like there's three novels out there for this series. The Three-Body Problem, The Dark Forest, and Death's End are the three novels that Liu has produced. Now, the creative team from Game of Thrones, everyone's been wondering where they're going to go, what's the next big thing. And evidently, they were excited and anxious to get a hold of this. And the first time a lot of them read the Three-Body Problem trilogy, it really has a science fiction feel to it. So, and in fact, all of the creators that are involved in this continually quote the same thing, that it is a very heavy science fiction style story. So it is a familiar premise with first contact with an alien civilization and it's strange because, of course, everyone wonders how we would handle first contact, and I don't know if this is going to be any closer to how actually we would do it, or because I've never read the series, but now that I'm aware of it, of course, yeah, that's right, it's getting downloaded right now. I'll be be reading that as soon as I finish this podcast. But the how we would handle life in the future with extraterrestrial contact and all of how that plays into society. So these books not only tackle that, but take us a step further into the setup of it. So they basically tell the story of transcendence through time and space, and they're tackling issues of cultures and race. So it sounds like it'd be interesting from just the reader standpoint. How this translates to the next Netflix series is an excellent question. I couldn't tell you, but from what I've seen, when it comes to Netflix tackling science fiction, they don't have a problem with it. But it's seeing it through, because Dark Matter was a great series that they just kind of left high and dry. Altered Carbon, which comes as no surprise, has been canceled. But I just think that the second series was nowhere near as strong as the first one, and I think that was more of their choice in actors, with the gentleman playing the Falcon coming off of his high from Cap and Avengers. I don't think he was the wisest of choices for that, for the lead character. I just don't think it suited him. Not to say he's a bad actor, but there are certain roles that, of course, that are better suited and fit other actors and their personalities. And Sam is just too much of a goody-goody. He's Falcon from, you know, he's Cap's sidekick. He's not, you know, this gritty, cutthroat, you know, mass murdering homicidal maniac. So to see him take on that role in Altered Carbon, just it didn't fit him well. That's all I'm saying. And I think if it was somebody else, Altered Carbon would probably have been renewed for a third season, but the animated for that is actually impressively good. If you haven't watched it yet, do. So with that said, I don't know if we'll how well Netflix will cater to this, and if they're already signed on for three series, or if they're going to adapt all of the books, or how they're going to attack this. But my concern is they don't usually just follow all the way through. Their delivery is great. I mean, the special effects and the budgets that Netflix has loaned to its productions have been inspiring. I mean, TV, if they only had the Netflix budget, would probably produce much, much better shows. So with that said, I'm definitely going to be picking up the book series just to read, because it does look provocative. It does look intriguing enough that I want to know more. I want to read it. Read it all. Also, on the other side of streaming is the CBS All Access. And it's like it's just lurking. You've got Hulu and CBS that are just kind of lurking in the background, kind of just under the surface. You're waiting for them to do something. Because I know we're going to see the DC service get dissolved. That's going over to HBO Max, let's just be honest. And who knows what we'll see out of that. They've got enough going on with the Snyder Cut and all of that. I'm sure we'll hear more from them. But when you got like Hulu and CBS All Access that are just, they've got their own individual properties, they've got their own approach to situations and things. And one of those approach and situations for CBS All Access is the new Stephen King Stand premiere that they're going to be holding on December 17th. So we saw a brief trailer with Whoopi Goldberg. And she's playing the older lady that lives out in the cornfields. She's the one that gets into the fight with Flag in the book and gets her ass kicked by a bunch of rats. This looks action-packed, star-studded. I mean, I don't know how many other adjectives I can kind of throw at this one, but I don't know if it's going to be any better or worse than the original kind of Stan miniseries we saw back in the day, back in the 90s. So, I don't know. Did we need another Stand? Do we need another It? I mean, It was, the second installment was a much more bigger disappointment than I think anyone anticipated, which was sad. I wanted to see that do well, but it ended up, you know, I think they waited too long to get the second installment out. Now, with CBS All Access doing the streaming, and I'm sure this will be another weekly installment, just like they did with Picard and Discovery, and they're doing with Section 33. Is it 33 or 13? The Starfleet, other series that they're going to come out with. I want someone else to tell me if it's good or not. I don't want to get sucked in, because it just seems like we've got, okay. So Stephen, it's not like Stephen King stopped writing after The Stand, or you know, Dragon's Eye. There are so many other novels, or Dark Tower, or you know, I mean, it's not like King has not been writing his entire life and continues to produce interesting stories. And I don't know if it's just because these are easy to visit, they're the most recognized, or what it is, but I mean, I can think as far back as like the 80s with Creepshow and them adopting a lot of his novels back then. Pet Sematary, which was creepy as hell. Nobody likes creepy little children. Gabe, go play with that creepy ass cat. The fact is, I don't know if we need to keep rehashing all of Stephen King's older stuff. There's a lot of other stuff that he's done, like Cell. I would really actually like to see them try to adapt Cell to a film. And I think that would be more kind of in the vein of the new horror that we've seen, the new golden age that's kind of come about. So as much as I want to see a better stand, a higher quality stand, and I'm sure the special effects and the budget that CBS All Access is throwing at this is going to be on par with Star Trek. It's going to be very equivalent. I have no doubts that we will see something that we haven't seen for a while, and that's fine. But I just wish that we could visit something other than Stephen King's other stuff. Or maybe a decent take on The Dark Tower. Dragon's Eye. Just one book on that, and you can do an amazing series for that. I would love to see Dragon's Eye turned into a film. Short series. I mean, it'd be easy to do. But instead, we keep going back to this. Fine. Whatever. So, moving along, in comic book news this week, last week actually, the Joker independent story hit Reddit. Yeah, man, I like it. Not going to give you any spoilers. A shit ton of covers to choose from. I kind of put my synopsis in my top five last week. If you didn't read it, please go and check it out. But I can't believe it, but they are blowing off the shelves. And I know shops ordered heavily on this. It's going to be like Killing Joke now. I'm betting that... And there's so many different covers. And from my information that I've gotten from different shops, believe it or not, the one cover that is selling out the most is the one with the crowbar that's bloodied, of course, and it's the only one that has the green lettering. So, and a couple shops confirmed that to me, that that's the one that has sold out the quickest. So, of all the different covers to pick from for three Jokers, evidently that is the winner. Winner, winner. Crowbar dinner. To pick that up this week, I've been talking about it for months, and it is finally happening. Time Lord Victorious number one is hitting the shelves. It is the multi-platform crossover event of the year for Doctor Who that is incorporating novels, audiobooks, comics. We haven't seen anything on the video side yet, but that's okay. I'll take this over the train wreck that the Doctor Who franchise has become on TV. But that said, you know, and it may be just be kind of a guilty pleasure of my own to constantly go into the Doctor Who world, and it was just such a fun thing for me as a kid, and to see it evolve into the huge fandom that it has become now with the Whovians and all of that. But this really is a compelling story for me, because there's always one thing that all of the Doctor Who fans can agree on, is when all of the Doctors get together and argue amongst themselves and interact and come together is kind of a lot of the favorite ones, and not to mention is a precedent. It is, you know, everyone kind of looks forward to it, like the Christmas special. Thank God we're finally getting that back. But that is just kind of like one of those things that you're like, you're looking forward to the next time that it happens. You're like, oh yes, it's the annual crossover event. It's the annual team up. It's the annual doctors meeting doctors. So to see them take this on in such an ambitious endeavor is encouraging. And I really hope this does well, because I want to see more of this. We'll find out as it hits shelves this week. And yeah, I'll let you know. I'll give it a read, because that one, of course, there's a bunch of other stuff hitting the shelves that I will let you read about in my top five. But yep, just as I mentioned, in video game news, we have video game news finally. First of all, in mobile video games, I'm still shocked by this, but I can understand. We'll see how well it plays, but Monster Slayer, which is the new Witcher-themed mobile game, will be hitting soon. Evidently, there is a beta out there that you can download, and it's developed by Spooken. I'm not familiar with that company, but okay, good name. Stars for the name. Hopefully it plays and interacts better than like the Ghostbusters world did. I know Pokemon Go has got another huge download coming in September, new characters and environments and all of that. I've kind of abandoned the Pokemon side because it's just too much and takes up too much memory. Good God. So I've gotten kind of away from that, but The Witcher might be fun, and of course it is under the same premise as the Ghostbusters and Pokemon of going out there, finding monsters, and I guess slaying them since you're the Witcher, or a Witcher, and we'll see. I haven't played it yet, I haven't done the beta, I might download it. I've visited Spooken's page just to kind of investigate and check them out, and okay, sure, another company, you know, hoping to expand the interaction, getting people out, which is, you know, a big deal, especially, I mean, that's always been Nintendo's thing of getting people out, getting them to play. So, will it be worth it? I don't know. I think the Ghostbusters one did not do well. I don't want to say failed miserably, but It didn't do well. and in other video game news, the release date for the new Hitman series is January 20th of 2021. And oh my God, pre-orders are available now. You get, of course, like the extra bonuses of cooler guns and I'm sure probably some other tweaky little perks, which is great. This is one of the most underrated video game franchises, I think, because it is just so much fun to just walk around and just be an assassin. And it is so in your hands of whether or not you kill people or not. If you want to even try and burn through the entire game all in disguises and not kill anyone, which in my mind is kind of boring. But like some of the I think it was Tom Clancy's, which one was it? Where there was an achievement for not killing anybody, for going through the entire game, not being seen and skulking around. And I'm like, well, that just kind of seems like a boring game to me, as you're just sitting there kind of quietly creeping along. And it seems like a total time burn in my mind, but okay, whatever. This is a fun game. I have enjoyed it. So to get a new installment is all right. I'm in. So if you go to, actually, I will put the pre-order link up so you can get a chance to pick it up, at least get it in. The deluxe editions, I'm sure, will probably go quickly, just like all of the other ones in the past. I've picked them all up and it's so been worth it. Love, love, love that game. So, just chance to walk around, kill somebody. Wear their clothes. Yeah, not creepy at all. In Magic news, and that is, yes, Magic the Gathering, they have released and revealed the latest drop that they will be having for next year. Next year's Secret Lair drop series is going to be Walking Dead inspired. They're expanding their zombie arsenal with some amazing Walking Dead art, and it's another example of their cross-brand collaborations. A couple months ago, we talked about them doing the Godzilla monsters as legendaries. Now they're going to add this. Actually, I'm on board. I mean, the Secret Drop series already are special limited prints that coincide or you can work into Magic. They used to do this a lot more frequently and have like kind of little cool special side sets that worked in the game, just, you know, chicken thrower type nonsense where it's just fun to be able to play the card, and that's half the enjoyment. You want to be able to play that weird card that everyone's just like, what the hell is that? And there's no bigger sense of achievement than being able to lay down that one weird oddball card that everyone was like, oh, what the hell? So just to see that would be fun. So evidently this also works into, and I can't believe this card is banned, Field of the Dead, which I used to actually play. And, of course, the General Planeswalker, which is another card that is banned, is going to have Bicycle Girl from The Walking Dead. So I'm curious to see. I mean, they did leak one of the cards, and it's the zombie that's from the first episode where it's kind of crawling along the grass, and you're like, ooh, scene right out of the comic. Looks like they just lifted it right up, added some nice new paint job to it, and it looks really, really good. I'm impressed. I'm always impressed with the artwork that they pull for Magic the Gathering. Most of the time, always enjoy seeing what they come up with for characters, for cards, worth, even just from the collector standpoint, to have in the collection. But again, that's just the older geek in me. What else? I think that's kind of it for this week. It was a little bit lighter of a week than normal, more event filled than anything else. It's difficult to keep stuff going when there's not a lot going on. I will do a shakedown on Lucifer, I promise. I'm just waiting for more information to kind of come out on that. And as soon as that lands, for sure going to expand on that and do that as a shakedown. But this week, no shakedown, just because of, I think instead of shakedown, tribute to Bozeman, to Black Panther. So that brings us to the final part of the podcast, which everyone looks forward to. The restaurants that helped me survive the COVID. Yes, this is the time where I sit back and regale you with menus and places that you need to visit that are worth the trip for dining out. It is absolutely, positively a must-do for everyone. Now, this week, staying with my sandwiches, I'm very particular about my sandwiches. I'm not about all the bread and all of that. And I don't think anyone is, but the restaurants and sandwich joints seem to think that that's the answer to a sandwich. Instead of having good flavor profiles and excellent materials and quality ingredients, that they're just going to kill us with bread and call it a day. Well, I don't care for that. And that's why I don't go to a lot of sandwich places. This, however, I do frequent, and I used to go at least once a week. Everything changed, of course, and I'm not working close to one of their locations, but the Taste of Philly, which is the home of the real Philly cheesesteak, is one of my faves. They do have, I think, three different locations. They do. One's in a few are in Denver, and one is in Lakewood. This, I used to frequent the one on Colorado Boulevard all of the time. I mean, at least once a week I was in there, and so tasty. But with everything that changed, I kind of had to change up my menu, change up my life. There's also one in Highlands Ranch. And having been to Philly and have tried one of, like, what a real Philly cheesesteak is supposed to taste like, these guys got it down. The flavor of the meat is just delectable. They've got it down to, and maybe this just comes from experience or the aging of the grill. You get all that flavor and you get all that built in there. So when you put the meat on there, it soaks up all that goodness, all that delicious leftover flavor, and it is absolutely perfect. I know that they have not been open for dine-in, and some of them, I don't even think, because I know the one on Colorado Boulevard, there was a small place to sit in there, but it really was more of like a grab and go. And that is the way I think that this sandwich shines, because even if you're able to sit right there, hot, fresh, right off of the grill, is just as tasty when you get it home. Still has that nice residual heat working through. All of the meat has had a chance to coagulate and mix together with the cheese, and it is absolutely mouth-watering, and it I honestly knew, and I remember even doing this a couple of times, I would eat like a full sandwich and I was still craving it afterwards. I would have to go back and get a 6-inch, like a smaller one. And that's the sign of a good sandwich. At the end of it, you still want more. You're still craving it. And the bread isn't overdone. It isn't used as the filler to just kind of like, okay, here's a little bit of meat. No, they load it up. The meat is overrunning the bread the way a proper Philly should be. So, of course, I do it with onions, cheese, loaded to the brim. I would suggest the same. So check them out. Like I said, there are lots of locations all across town. They are available for takeout. They are available for delivery. There's a couple of different websites depending upon which one is closest to you. But, I mean, the one on Colorado Boulevard that I frequent is 2432 South Colorado Boulevard. It's right there basically off of Evans and Colorado Boulevard, just a couple blocks south of Evans. So easy enough to get to. Parking lot can actually, you know, handle people. But that's the one I frequent. That's the one I used to go to all the time. Worth the trip. If it's not close to you, by all means, go and check out Taste of Philly. Link is in the post so you can see who they are, what they are. And there are lots of other options, but if you're going to a Philly cheesesteak place, you kind of got to go for the Philly cheesesteak. And that's a restaurant that helped me survive the COVID. If you have suggestions or other restaurants that you want me to go check out, something that is your favorite, I would love to see what you enjoy. Shoot me a message. Let me know what's going on, what your taste buds are constantly craving, because I'll go check it out. I'll take a special trip just for you, because that's what I do. I'm here for you. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's about everything. So if you have any questions, comments, let me know. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing the podcast. Please go to our sponsors page, Suzy Q's. Check out her amazing jewelry and her works that you can, you know, carry around with you and show off to your friends. So in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.